It's now time for Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We're the world's number one podcast for everything cannabis.
Welcome to Cannabis Talk 101 with Blue, Joe Grande, and Mark and Craig Wasserman, the Pot Brothers at Law. We want to thank you guys all for tuning in all across this beautiful country of ours.
World!
We're recording tonight, and it's just Joe Grande and Mark again
because
we're the only ones who care.
We are.
We're the only ones who want to give out information. And I don't know if you got a chance, as I sit all around this beautiful globe of ours, and did you get a chance to see the Jupiter and Mars as close as they ever were?
I just saw, you know, some pictures. I didn't see it live outside. I missed it because I guess it was at like 4:30 or 4:50 or something like that in the out here. And my son wanted to see it. And at 7 o'clock, I Googled, what time do you see the Christmas star? And he was like, oh, we missed it. It was 3 hours ago.
Many hours ago, jackasses, Google told you.
Did you see it? Did you look at it?
Many hours ago, you asshole. Thanks for paying attention for your kids.
Right?
I did not. I did see pictures online as well.
Right.
But I did see telescopes up in parking lots and this and that as I was at a soccer practice and going, oh, I wonder what, they're looking for that thing. There it is. That's right.
Well, it's a big deal. It only happens every 20 years, I think it said.
Exactly. So didn't get a chance to look at that, but, you know, did get a chance to talk to Mark and want to congratulate Mark Wasserman for getting a call back for The Devil.
The Devil. Yeah, this is a play. It's a play. And the callback is in March, and I've got 25 pages of dialogue.
Does that mean you're going to be in character acting like an asshole, just claiming you're being the devil? And
no.
You know, you're yelling at everybody.
No, I don't bring my work home. I'm not a method actor. I don't need to, you know, pretend to be the devil to live as that character in the moments during the play when it's required.
Well, good. So therefore we could have a good day, but Blue's not here being the, speaking of the devil, and speaking of the other devil, your brother's not here.
Your brother.
He does not get on this late to record, folks. It's past 3:30. It's hard to get him anywhere.
Sometime past two.
Yeah, literally. But I have some Go Green before you have a bunch of stuff. So I want to share with you guys out of Arkansas. You ready for this?
Ready.
Official report. Medical cannabis sales tops $200 million. Jeez. The medical marijuana industry in Arkansas is booming. According to reports, medical marijuana sales in Arkansas has hit a significant milestone. A little bit more than a year after the first dispensary in the state began serving customers. It's crazy to think just a year. Check this out there. You ready for this? Voters in Arkansas approved a measure to legalize medical marijuana in 2016, but the first dispensary didn't open until May of 2019.
3 years.
It took them three years.
What the fuck?
Right? So 2019 May, just a little over a year, folks. KATV, a local news station out in Arkansas, 5 News, it says $200.7 million they've made. And wow. 30,648 pounds of medical marijuana has been sold.
You know what? I think of when I hear that they 2016, it took them 3 years and now 200 million. How much money did they lose out on by taking 3 years to go through bullshit to make it happen? There's no way it needed to happen for three. They had to wait 3 years. You know, that
not only 3 years, but I mean, 3 years later, since 2019, now there's like 32 dispensaries that remain inoperable a year after the permits were issued. So it's just crazy that according to the 5 News, there are now 31 dispensaries serving patients throughout the state. KATV reported that Green Springs Medical in Hot Springs has sold the most marijuana of the state of the 31 dispensaries, totaling a little bit more than 3,400 pounds of cannabis, while Relief Center in Bonneville has sold the second most, clocking in about 3,343 pounds.
Wow.
It's just funny to think, though, that if they would go and other states would see this and be like, wait a minute, Arkansas is doing this on a medical site only. It's like,
It's baffling to the mind. It's, you know, that phrase, reasonable minds can disagree. It just doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any economic sense. It doesn't make any business sense. When you look strictly at the numbers you constantly tell in your Go Green segments, ever since you started doing them about cannabis businesses, they're just astronomical. And to think that there are cities, let alone states, but cities and counties in California, a majority of them that still aren't allowing it. The fuck? Sorry.
It really is though, Mark. And we sit here, and as we sit here in a time where our country needs money, people are hurting more than ever. A lot of people listening to this, you know, maybe we get a, and I say we, because I'm hoping I get a check. We all can get some money, right? We're all hurting. A lot of us are hurting, folks.
And the bit they just passed the bill.
Yeah, to think 200 million is made in Arkansas because of this going medical only. Folks, if it's recreational, it's even more. And not even more, a lot more. And when you look at your cities, when Mark said, oh, to think of all the cities, even here in California, there could be so many more cities doing this. It's just funny how when people think, oh, I wonder if people are doing this. I have a random story, Mark, that I want to share with you and people out there that may think, oh, I wonder how friendly cannabis is or where it's going. But today, I took my daughter to her private basketball lesson, and it was the last one of the year. As you know, we're recording this a little earlier, so it was right before Christmas. And to her coach, she's an ex-WNBA player, right? Tough as nails chick that's just a baller, awesome lady. And I brought her some cannabis, a joint, pre-roll, and some CBD flower, right? Had it in my pocket, did it right in front of my daughter because I was like, hey, Merry Christmas. I wanted to give you a THC joint and some CBD flower. She's like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm like, you know, in my head going, prefacing and going, you know, it's just like me bringing you some wine maybe, or, you know, but I just figured I'd bring you some flower.
Right.
She goes, and I go, I don't know if you engage, but either way, you know, you can take it home and give it to the homies, whoever, whatever. And knowing that she's an ex, athlete, I was borderline very curious to see where it was going to go.
Yeah.
Right. Maybe she does. Maybe she doesn't. I don't know. Sure enough, she looks at me and I go, do you engage? And she goes, oh my God, you're not going to believe that I found cannabis later in my professional career, and it helped me so much with my recovery, so much with my injuries. And now I just engage at night when I need to calm down and relax. And it helps me for my thinking, this and that. And she's like, and this flower, this CBD flower, I've never tried this. Oh my God. And I go, let me tell you right now, my buddy Mark, I literally quoted you. I didn't say horn dog, but I said, my buddy Mark Washerman, who's a heavy THC user, swears by smoking the cannabis and it balancing it out. And I go, and I just explained to her my scenario. I go, look, you know, I do a lot of more of just the CBD only, a lot of tinctures and smoking these pre-rolls and this and that, but if only CBD, and I enjoy it. And, you know, I even gave her a new testimonial, which is I've been noticing, Mark, the more that I've been popping this CBD, my ankle pain at night has been less.
Yeah.
Without having to reach to that THC, which I kind of told you I was waiting to do, but yeah. I just increased my CBD. Like when I say increase, I'm talking like now I'm dropping a full, you know, tincture under my tongue every 3 hours. Just
you and
know,
you full, can't full. Take too much. That's the great thing.
Now to the point though, to where my ankle, I'm not limping. My problem is, folks, if you're listening, going at night, come 9:30, 10 o'clock at night, I'm sitting down watching TV with my wife. I get up to go to the bathroom, get a drink of water, and I'm limping like I'm Fred Flintstone. I mean, it's just bad. Like seriously, Mark, it's bad, right? Last couple nights now, because I've been popping so much CBD, it's getting better. And I literally watched myself and told myself I have to do it more and more and more. So as this lady who, you know, my daughter's coach said, I use it for injuries now. It's great. Thank you so much. I can't wait to try it. And I was just happy to think that, you know what, the day has come now where Christmas gift is a pre-roll joint.
Right. Yes.
And some CBD rather than, you know, a bottle of
wine.
Wine in a bag. Or why would I want to give her a bottle of wine?
Or a package of the See's candy, box of the See's candy, right?
Exactly. Sugar poison.
Or actually that actually makes more sense now. A couple of joints and the See's candy, you know, that's
that actually goes a little hand
right on top.
But either way, it was
normalized. It's becoming more normalized, at least a little bit, at least enough where you can do that. What, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, you wouldn't do that, right? You wouldn't. Here's a joint. You wouldn't do that. Maybe you would, but.
Oh, I would actually. Yeah, I actually would have. I mean, even 3 years ago, for sure, I did it at a Christmas party.
Most people. I think most people would be more comfortable or are doing it now, doing that type of thing and more receptive to it. Maybe 3 years ago, somebody like that would have been afraid to publicly. Oh, no. Well, thank you anyway, you know, rather than taking it and being open about it.
So here's the funny part. It was a white elephant gift. And my wife was so mad that I was doing that. Why are you doing this? No one's going to want it, blah, blah. And we did it. And guess who's we know whose people we went to. You're going to know them. The songs. Dude, you know the songs.
Yes,
my folks, you know who they are. So the Songs family.
We have a case. I have a case with the one brother. The
yeah. So he's another lawyer and another doctor, and his dad's a doctor. And my other buddy who introduced me to the whole family is a guy named Ethan. And I went to their family, and you know it's funny. The Songs and my wife was like, they're not gonna. All their aunts and uncles are there, and you know it's a bunch of older folks. Dog, when I tell you everyone was craving for the CBD creams and lotions one person wanted the flower and this and that. It was just hilarious how that was like the talk of the party.
Well, I've got my wife's relatives are all up in the Pop Brothers at La CBD.
Really?
Yeah. And she's also been, my wife's been ordering it for like, she has a couple of cousins, like for Christmas gifts. They've had like all these different, you know, pains and this and that. And her niece, she sent one of our creams or rubs to the niece for her ankle. That's some deal that she has. Kind of, I think, similar to what you have to deal with. And she's swearing by it now. Swearing by it.
Really?
Yeah. We have a good product out there.
That's awesome. You know, it's just funny how, if people don't know, it's the way to go. Use it as a gift. Use it for New Year's. It's Cannabis Talk 101. Arkansas is going green. We're come back with some Mark Wasserman. I don't know if it's cannabis goes bad or you got some news.
I got it all, baby. Talk
about the DEA being sued. We got all kinds of stuff. It's Cannabis Talk 101. We'll be right back after that.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, Pop Brothers at Law, Blue and Joe Grande. But just Joe Grande and Mark here today. And we are broadcasting at night once again. Joe, I want to talk about something that's happening tomorrow. Very, very big. And for us, I mean, it's big on a lot of levels. And, you know, because we're one guys and an issue guys right now about cannabis, the Georgia runoff, the Senate runoff, could decide federal cannabis policy. Come 2021.
Like this literally can make it where it can go federally legal to where you'll be finally eating your ass and your words of okay.
Well,
it's gonna happen.
I won't eat my words because my word said as long as McConnell is the Senate majority leader, it ain't never happening. He'll be the minority leader of the Senate. Because he's the leader, it would be.
I don't remember you being all detailed like this.
Oh, we'll that's exactly did. What I said. Because McConnell
let's
just
play the tape, up. Please.
Yes, we're gonna get that tape. Pitt, play it back. Okay, see, I told you that's exactly what I said.
There we go.
This is not gonna happen ever. It's never gonna happen. That's all I gotta say. It's little brother. It's not gonna happen.
But the two Georgia runoff elections for U.S. Senate seats being held tomorrow will have significant implications because if both the Democrats win, then that means the Democratic Party will reclaim command over the Senate because it'll be even Steven and the tiebreaker goes to the vice president, who's a Democrat. And we know how the Democrats feel about cannabis. and there'll be a new Senate majority leader. It'll no longer be McConnell, where you've heard my famous words, where do Senate bills go? They go to die at the feet of Mitch McConnell. And that could end if both Democrats win, but both have to win. It's not one or the other. Both have to win. And I just heard a report tonight that as of today, another 1.5 million people have voted. And the interesting aspect of that is that in November, for the November election, at the same period of time before the election, 1.5 million people had voted. And so they were talking about how it's very unusual to not have a drop off from a primary election into a special election like this.
And in Georgia, did more Democrats or more Republicans vote?
More Democrats. Yeah, because that's where you had Stacey Abrams going out there. You got Killer Mike going out there. And so it seems like it's going to be possible, you know, coupled with the things you hear about some Republicans. Yeah, like, I'm all pissed off because, you know, we really won Georgia and they're screwing us, so I'm not going to go vote. You know, I don't know how much of that is really happening.
Well, in my opinion, the president, Donald Trump, ruined it for a lot of Republicans out there. Like, he went out there and he only let these Republicans speak for like 5 minutes in like a 2-hour rally that he had out there, for one.
Well, he's bashing.
He was bashing the election process.
He's bashing Republicans every day, more and more. So, you know, this whole thing about getting Mitch McConnell out of there. And it's not just cannabis. It's so many other issues. You know, they pass in the next act that's going to give relief. It's only going to be $600 checks, right? Instead of last time it was $1,200. It's now $600. That's because of McConnell. You know, if the Democrats were in the majority right now, we might be, if Bernie Sanders had it, say we'd be seeing $2,400 checks. You know, we'd be getting taken care of, you know, like it should be, you know, take care of us citizens over here. But either way, it's probably the most historic, most important election, special runoff type election that we've ever seen. And, you know, no matter which way you're going to go, get out there and vote. The will of the people will come through if you get off your ass and vote. And, you know, we just saw that happen. And, you know, I'll say it again. We said it a couple times, 179 million people voting for cannabis. I mean, it's a train that's not going to be stopped.
Let me ask you this, though, Mark. If you're a Republican in Georgia and you're a heavy cannabis supporter, wouldn't you want to vote Democrat in Georgia because of that?
I would imagine. I mean, it makes sense. It's like, you know, how are we going to get the cannabis bill through only if the Democrats control, because there's not enough Republicans who
that's
it.
Fairly what needs to happen, right? All the Republicans in Georgia that are cannabis friendly need to vote democratically.
I mean, that's true. But on the other side of the coin, what if these Republicans actually listened to their own constituents instead of their own private thoughts and policies, like they're not supposed to do? Because we already know, we just 170 million votes. The overwhelming will of the people is to let cannabis be.
You mean if the Republicans at the House level would do what their people have voted for?
Yep. The people that
represent. Then it wouldn't matter if we needed to vote Democrat or not.
Right. And that, and you know, that's really how politics should work the right way, with good discussion, good sensible debate, and people coming together over important issues, you know. And it's just amazing the disconnect that has been created during this last administration, and the cronies. That, I love Chris Cuomo. I'll quote him. The retrumplicans, he calls them. The retrumplicans, who are more afraid of his Twitter power and what's going to happen after he's out of office. I mean, it's insane. you know, but this is the world we're living in. And now we're living in a world, and move on to some other news, where the feds announced a $350,000 grant to develop a method to distinguish, and I'm reading the headline here, hemp and marijuana, and cannabis, hemp. Hemp is cannabis, cannabis is hemp. And what we're talking about here is that differentiating hemp with 0.3% THC or less. THC, the psychoactive element. So you have people, companies getting pulled over. We know our guys from Green Angel CBD in New York and so many others that get pulled over and messed with because the cop thinks it's THC cannabis, THC hemp that has more than 0.3%. So the feds, and now, you know, as I'm reading this, it's kind of pissing me off. You're going to spend $350,000 to go try to distinguish. So a cop can be on the side of the road and go, this is hemp with 0.3%. And this is, and it should all fucking be legal. Now they're going to spend money. The Justice Department is issuing a different federal agency a grant to help develop a method of differentiating hemp and marijuana after hemp was federally legalized under the 2018 Farm Bill. Man, in 2018 we thought we were we were so happy. The Farm Bill made hemp yay. Laboratories have
it's still a step in the right direction.
No, absolutely, but we've now one step forward, two steps back, as the laboratories have been increasingly tasked with determining whether cannabis seized by law enforcement contains THC in excess of 0.3%, classifying it as still an illegal cannabis drug in the eyes of the law. However, most forensic laboratories are currently lacking reliable extraction protocols and analytical methods to do so. And so now, to that end, the agency is awarding $350,000 to the National Institute of Standards and Technology. Why not give that to the vets? Why not give that to cancer research? I don't know. This just, I don't understand. You're so worried about differentiating what has 0.3% THC or not, so you can bust more people on the failed war against cannabis that it's on his last leg. Isn't it on its last? I got to believe it's on its last leg. And they want to do this. I'm sorry. I'm going through this thing. It's just, it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Let's see. After the method of this proposal includes a technology transfer focus on federal, state, and local forensic laboratories through standard operating procedures. This is an entire waste of time and money and resources, in my opinion. What do you think,
John? 100%, especially when it's going to go federally legal before you know it. Why waste this money doing that?
God, because, you know, this country doesn't need any money. You know, that we don't need any money right now. The people of this country don't need shit. We need to find out whether or not hemp has 0.3% THC or if it's more, so these people can get busted and take it in for drug trafficking. Jesus. Yeah. How about some when cannabis goes bad? Or we save that for the next segment.
Well, you want to touch on this DEA hit with another lawsuit from scientists seeking research. And I think it was the Miss School of University of Mississippi.
Mississippi.
Saying that they don't have enough money or but enough cannabis to do research because, you know, they're not making it federally legal. I think that's awesome.
Yes.
I think that's great.
Yeah.
That a university is going to go after the DEA and say, you guys, you're making it impossible for us to do this research to figure out what's what, how we could do this. Nearly 20 years at the University of Massachusetts, they've been applying for licenses and development and all this stuff. So all these schools, I think even more than just Mississippi, are getting involved. And I just like the fact that the DEA is getting hit with another lawsuit from scientists at that, saying, you guys, you need to make this federally legal so we can do some damn real research.
And we all know the hypocrisy. We know who holds the patents. You know, we talked about that stuff, and we know that they've allowed certain facilities and schools to do research. You have to apply specifically, and they allow it, but they should allow it just nationwide to whoever wants to do it.
And I mean, and these cancel scientists it from being a Schedule 4 drug. It's ridiculous.
They're thirsting. These scientists are thirsting. They're aching to do it and learn more about it, because they are, you know, screw the scientists. We know the growth. We know the cultivators. We know the people who are already doing it, you know, but God, if you could get the labs and the scientists to learn the things the cultivators know and then apply all that to science, however they do that.
How much do you think Big Pharma plays in that, though? You know what
I mean? A lot.
Exactly.
They're surprised a lot. Well, because, it's a lot. It's the laws and the lobbyists and the big pharma.
These scientists are basically saying to them to announce these lawsuits to point out that the efforts to conduct meaningful research into cannabis medicines have been blocked for decades. The continued obstruction is causing suffering for people with serious conditions, which indicates the timelessness of this lawsuit in relationship to the CND's recent vote, according to the maps in the lawsuit. I mean, and when I read that, I go to this thing thinking, for people with serious conditions like cancer, how much money's made there, folks?
Right?
Epilepsy, seizures, let alone your common headache, your ADD, you know what I mean? Like, dude, there's all these things that we know that it really helps with, that they just put some fucking good, you know, research into it to be able to give it a full, like, use this, use that. Even myself, my swelling in my ankles, my arthritis in my hips, I've increased my CBD and now I'm not limping so much. How about you give me a dose that says you weigh 255, 260 pounds. You need to take this amount for an effective remedy.
That would be nice,
right?
That would be nice.
And you know what?
You gotta have the research.
Yeah,
you need that specific type of research. And now it's just, you know, unfortunately, it's you gotta try. You gotta figure it out yourself. You gotta use. But then that's the one thing, you can't use too much. If you use too much, it's okay. I'm not gonna use that much again. But it's
well, not
be
even
nice
for me with CBD with the pain like this. I mean, that's the research they're going to say when I say serious conditions, right? My point is, mine's serious, but not serious as cancer. I'm not dying from my swelling, folks. You know what I mean? I just want to get this stuff to where we could help more people in this country, especially that I say I think Big Pharma plays a big hand in this, with meaning they don't want to take it from a Schedule 4. You know what I mean?
Right. They need to make their money. Cannabis will kill Big Pharma because you don't. All you need is cannabis. I mean, it can take the place between the CBD, the THC, the strain, the CBD.
Well, I don't think it's going to take the place of Big Pharma. I think it'll...
Well, it could. That's what Big Pharma is afraid of. Because we already see it. We already see it in the states that have gone medicinal, the opiate use going down, the prescription drugs going down, the use of all that stuff going down in those states where it's gone medicinal and adult use for that matter, you know, and with the alcohol use going down. I mean, in 20, 30, 40 years, it's just going to be cannabis in all different shapes, forms, colors, and liquids and everything, I think. And I think that would be you. Nice.
Cannabis Talk 101, when we come back, Mark's got us with Cannabis Goes Bad.
Welcome back to Cannabis Talk 101. Mark and Craig, the Pop Brothers at Law Blue, and Big Joe Grande. My favorite time of the show, Joe. I want to thank Kit, Tina, Jen, and Elvis.
Elvis.
For always helping us out. But it is time for When Cannabis Goes Bad. And out of Alberta, Canada, the headline reads, and I'm sure Joe knows this guy, Mark Messier loses $500,000 investments in an Alberta cannabis company. Former
Edmonton player?
I'm shocked, Mr. Big Sports Joe Grande. Former Edmonton Oiler and New York Ranger great Mark Messier Hall of Famer, five-time winner of the Stanley Cup.
I don't know how I messed that up.
I'm surprised, but this guy invested $500,000 in an Alberta-based cannabis company called Destiny Bioscience, and he is now filing a lawsuit against CEO Ed Moroz, alleging that the company used his celebrity status to gain instant credibility with other investors. Destiny was not a sure thing, quite the opposite. It was a worthless company propped up by nothing more than Moroz's grandiose promises, Messier stated in the lawsuit. Now, Messier alleges he was granted a personal guarantee that he wouldn't lose money upon purchasing 125,000 shares at $1.25 each. However, the business failed miserably, and Destiny was placed in receivership in May of 2020 after amassing $42 million in debt with their state-of-the-art facility in Nisku, Alberta, placed up for sale. And as we were talking, as I thought you might know, Joe, he's one of the most decorated hockey players that has ever played. And neither he nor Destiny Bioscience have made any public statements since the filing. And I think the moral of this story of when cannabis goes bad is, you know, investing in the cannabis business is pretty risky, let alone there are some shady players out there. What do you think, Joe?
Of course there is. And I can't believe that I thought Messi was the soccer player when, you know, there is a big Messi soccer player that he plays for Argentina. And, you know, when you said Messi, I just thought Messi, the soccer player, as I was at soccer practice earlier with my son as a new.
So you got soccer on the mind.
But okay. You're right about the hockey player. And I did feel embarrassed, and I'm not going to lie. But at least I knew why I was thinking of the Messi from Argentina, because I was at soccer earlier. So
watch those cannabis investments. All right, we got one more here. Out of Portland, the headline reads, man shot and killed during gunpoint robbery at cannabis dispensary.
Whoa.
These are the kind of stories I really hate, especially, you know, it just gives those naysayers, oh, well, look what happened at the dispensary.
This is what happens when you open up a dispensary, right, in our neighborhood.
Right, that's the people are going to jump all over that. And so you got a 44-year-old man who was shot and killed Monday during a robbery at a cannabis dispensary in North Portland. Officials were called out at about 9:50 p.m. after shots were reported. They arrived to find Michael Arthur with a gunshot wound. He was taken to the hospital and later pronounced dead. Investigators say he was an employee at the cannabis dispensary. And, you know, there's really just not much to say, except there could have been a liquor store. It could have been a grocery store. It could have been a toy store. Could have been anything. But people are going to take this opportunity to say, oh, look, it happened at a cannabis dispensary, and that's where bad things happen. And to point, though, this is just one of many incidents, as it says here in this article, in Portland, Oregon, that marks the 50th homicide in 2020 and the 37th involving a firearm. And, you know, all those other,
I wonder how many of those 50 were in front of a dispensary.
Yeah,
or not even many. Here.
You know, I won. You know, the moral of the story is it's a fucked up world out there. And, you know, just get high and smoke some cannabis. I'm Mark Wasserman, little brother of the Pop Brothers at Law. That's when cannabis goes really bad.
Well, hope you guys are having a great new year. It's Joe Grande, Mark Wasserman. We're back. You're back. Is the coronavirus back? Yeah.
Well, there's a new strain of it in the UK. I just heard today, or last week, or whenever we heard it, there's a new strain that's coming out, and you know, a million people just traveled, you know, and people are going everywhere, and they're coming back, and I don't know. All we can do is, you know, take care of ourselves, take care of our families, and do what we do. What else can you do?
Except say Happy New Year, and if nobody else loves you,
we do.
Thank you for listening to Cannabis Talk 101 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.